Funding for WBUR comes from MathWorks, creators of MATLAB and Simulink software, accelerating the pace of engineering and science. Learn more at MathWorks.com.
A self-described drug dealer will return to the witness stand when the trial of mobster James Whitey Bulger resumes today in federal court in Boston. Joseph Tower will face defense cross-examination this morning and will answer questions about giving Bulger a cut of his marijuana and cocaine business. It follows a day of emotional testimony from a different government witness yesterday, former FBI supervisor John Morris. WBUR's David Boeri reports on what happened in court and the reaction outside.
Like Hester Prynne wearing the scarlet letter A for adultery, John Morris wears the letter D for disgrace. At previous trials and in return for immunity, the former FBI supervisor has admitted taking money, wine, and beer from Whitey Bulger, tipping him off to investigations and the identities of informants, and to looking the other way to lies and murders. Under cross-examination on his third day testifying in this trial, the balding, pink, and bird-like Morris started to flap his wings but couldn't fly. "He gave you money, gifts, things of value, and you took them," said Bulger's attorney Hank Brennan. "Correct," said Morris. "You didn't say no," Brennan retorted. And here, Morris began to blame FBI agent John Connolly, who in the early 1980s conveyed to Morris a case of wine from the mobsters with $1,000 in it. He said, "If I wanted to give it back to Bulger, I'd have to give it back myself." Here's where any similarity with Hester Prynne ended. "Once I had it," Morris said. The evasion brought this from Brennan. "You did not throw the wine away." Answer, "Did not." "You didn't throw the money away." "Did not." Morris also denied that he wanted the $5,000 Bulger handed him on another occasion. Morris explained, "He was opening the door on his way out when he handed me the envelope. He turned, the door shut, I looked at the envelope. I did not want it. I went after them to give it back. When I opened the door, they were gone." Brennan was relentless. "Did you make any phone calls to try to return the money?" Answer, "No. At this point, I was trapped." "You kept it," Brennan hammered. "Yes." And what is truly remarkable was that as Brennan showed Morris's cowardice and evasions, the family of one of Bulger's alleged victims silently rooted for Bulger's own lawyer. Tommy Donahue is the son of murder victim Michael Donahue.
"We want Whitey Bulger to go to jail, but we have to rely on Whitey's lawyers to get us the truth? You know, that's appalling. The government should be getting us the truth."
Under Brennan's offensive, Morris, who won FBI promotions and commendations for his integrity, also revealed that he had taken money from another informant. And even when he made a plea deal with the government years later, he never revealed it before grand juries and judicial hearings. "I did not lie. I omitted it," said Morris. "If they didn't ask, I wasn't going to tell." So much for the government witness coming completely clean. Worse yet came Morris's testimony about how he had irresponsibly told Bulger's informant handler, John Connolly, that mobster Brian Halloran was implicating Bulger in a murder in Oklahoma. Bulger is charged with subsequently murdering both Halloran and Michael Donahue, an innocent man who was driving Halloran home. "You knew you were signing Mr. Halloran's death warrant by telling Connolly," Brennan charged. "No, I didn't," Morris retorted. "I thought he was going to be safe." "Did you write a report?" "No, sir." "Did you tell the agents," the two FBI agents who had been handling Halloran and trying to protect him, "did you tell the agents they should be on high alert, that you would divulge their secret?" "No, sir." After Halloran and Michael Donahue were murdered in 1982, Brennan wanted to know, "Did you do something to uncover the truth?" "No, I did not." Morris conceded he was more worried about himself. Brennan sprung. "Did you ever reach out and ask the families for forgiveness?" Before the jurors, Morris turned to the families in the courtroom, to Michael Donahue's widow, Pat, and to her sons, to apologize for things I did and I didn't do. "Not a day in my life has gone by that I haven't prayed that God gives you blessing and comfort for the pain you have suffered." Outside the courthouse, the families saw that apology as the work of a moral weasel.
"I think that he probably really feels guilty."
Pat Donahue.
"So to me, that's that's a good punishment for him, because that is something he has to live with for the rest of his life. His apologies came way, way too late.
Tommy Donahue was 8 years old when his father was murdered.
How can you feel sorry for somebody when you have somebody killed and you're getting promotion? You covered it up. You lied about it. Years later, somebody was charged in my father's murder. He knew about it and still didn't say nothing. His tears and his apologies don't mean crap to me or my family. Not one bit.
The humiliation of government witness John Morris, who receives his FBI pension and has served not a day in jail, was complete. Steve Davis is the brother of another murder victim.
Oh, he should be sitting right where Bulger is right now. And how the government can grant this guy immunity, it's sick. It's really sick.
And so these families of the alleged victims of Whitey Bulger were cheering the work of Bulger's defense attorney on a most remarkable day. For 90.9 WBUR, I'm David Bowery.